Praise the Lord. So today we want to do something a little special, and that is, as you can see at the very top of the sheet, we want to consider our practice of the God-ordained way. And often in the church life, we get together and we consider our experience of life, or we consider what does the Bible say as far as the truth goes. But not very frequently do we get together and just consider, how is our practice?
Amen.
Right? How are we practicing our Christian life? And how are we practicing the church life?
Amen.
And this is very worthwhile for us to do at least once a year. Right? In fact, maybe frequently, we should ask each other, how's your practice?
Amen.
How are you practicing?
Amen.
Right? And we'll find out, in the fellowship today, this is a very proper question. In fact, Paul asked the very same question. Okay? We need to consider, how is your practice of your Christian life? So, you know, in the last couple of years, actually it was before the migration to Champaign, we had a time here together, we called it a perfecting training, and it was basically was on the practice of the God-ordained way. And we had a lot of fellowship for four different Saturdays, considering our practice. But, this was not the only time. Actually, every time there's been a migration in the last 2 years, there's been a time of fellowship and perfecting training and encouraging all the saints who are in that locality or near that locality or considering migrating to consider, what are you going to do when you go to a new place? And even, what are you going to do if you are remaining in the same place? What are we doing here in the church life? We're practicing. We're just practicing the Christian life and the church life. Well, some of the brothers encouraged us that it's good that we have these perfecting trainings. But I don't know if you realize, maybe we ask Ken, how long ago was that perfecting training? For the one we had here with Champaign. How long ago? When was that? 2 years ago. That was 2 years ago. We had that perfecting training here. So it's time we come back and consider again, how are we practicing? So actually, we had some brothers with us last spring. One of the brothers was Brother Dan Toll. And he said, we owe it to one another to consider, how is our practice of preaching the gospel, of being revived, of shepherding one another. So anyway, this is what we want to consider. And this first session, we'll have two sessions, just give you a little idea of what we're going to do here today. We're going to have two topics each session. And basically, the fellowship today is not brand new. In fact, you've probably heard this before, even though we haven't talked about it that strongly for a couple of years. We've all heard these things. But the problem is not hearing these things. The emphasis today is on practicing these things. So in that verse we read in 1 Timothy 4:15, Paul charged Timothy to practice these things. And even in Philippians, it says, if you practice these things, the God of peace will be with you. So today, it's not necessarily learning brand new revelation of how to practice or new truths. It's mainly reconsidering what we've already learned, but more of asking one another not to expose each other or to put each other on the hot seat, but more in the way of fellowship and even learning from one another and encouraging and inciting one another. And Dion and I were fellowshipping this week. None of us have attained to the highest standard. None of us have achieved in our practice, and we're practicing every single point perfectly. You know, no. But we are practicing, right? We are learning. And we want to share with each other, what are you learning? And we share back and forth. Maybe you're learning something about getting up in the morning and having a personal time with the Lord every morning. Maybe some others haven't quite learned that yet. But maybe you're very weak in getting a companion or two to pray together with and to fellowship with and to go out in the gospel or visiting others with. So maybe you need some encouragement from others regarding the twos and threes. Okay? So there's all these different aspects of our practice. Some may be stronger in some aspects than others. So we want to spend the day today not only have a session like this sharing, but we're going to break up into groups. We got lots of tables here, and this is not only for our meal, but we're going to break up in, around the tables and ask each other, how's your practice? Like, for instance, what's going on in your home group? If you get together with a group of saints every week, what do you do? How's your practice? How's your nourishing and cherishing of one another? Any new ones coming? Why do you think, or why not? All right? How's your prayer? How's your companionship? How's your daily revival? How's your reading of the Bible? We want to ask each other these kind of questions and fellowship and encourage each other.
Amen.
Okay, so we're going to do that around the tables, and then we'll come back here and hopefully have some overflow of encouragement and inciting one another.
Amen.
Okay, so first of all, this first session, we want to consider again the overview of the God-ordained way and our need to reconsider our practice. So one thing that has been shared recently is that there's actually a book. I'll show it to you. It's a very good one. It's having it in the bookstore. It's actually fairly recent in print. It's called Crucial Words of Leading in the Lord's Recovery. And this is volume 4. And the title of the whole book is The Increase and Spread of the Church. And this book here talks about Roman numeral 1, that there's 4 main emphases in the Lord's recovery. And I think we've heard this before, and it's good to reconsider again. What are we doing here? What are the, you could say, the pillars of the recovery? What is our practice mainly about, and what are we doing? So the first one is focused on the word truth. Okay, the next one is focused on the word life. The third one is focused on the word increase. And the last one is called spread or spreading. Okay, these are the 4 emphases of the Lord's recovery. And that is, first of all, why are we here? Most all of us are here because the Lord has revealed something of His Word, the Word of truth to us. The Word of truth has come to us, maybe initially through the gospel, but we all could testify even daily, even weekly, even morning by morning when we get into the morning revival, and even weekly every time we come together in our groups and every time we fellowship and prophesy on the Lord's Day. More truth is opened up to us. And so what are we doing here? We are pursuing to come to the full knowledge of the truth, right? We're here gaining a full knowledge of the truth, and not only in doctrine or in letter, but we also like to experience the truth. And so where is the truth? Probably say, the Bible actually says, your word is truth. So where is the truth? The truth is in the Bible. And not only in the written word, but in the words which are spirit and life to us, and even more so in the interpreted word. When we open the recovery version and read the word and read the footnotes, We get equipped every day in the truth. Okay, so that's one aspect. Then what happens as we get into the word of truth and experience the reality in the truth? We begin to grow. And so this is our second aspect, our second emphasis in the Lord's recovery, is that we need to grow in life.
Amen.
And we're here taking the way of life. Right? We're not taking the way of a movement or any other kind of method or gimmick. We are taking the way of life.
Amen.
And we're here growing unto maturity. And we pray this for ourselves and for one another. We pray this for all the new ones and the younger ones and each other, that we all could grow, that this life in us would grow unto maturity. Okay, well, I think we're all very familiar with these two. We want to come to the full knowledge of the truth, and we want to grow in life.
Amen.
And so that's basically any given Lord's Day. We come together, you'll hear something about dispensing. What is that? Enjoying life. Hear something of the different truths that we get into every single week. Okay, so these two are crucial.
Amen.
We can't get away from the truth and from life. But that's only part. If you only had one leg, it'd be pretty hard to walk normally, right? So we need two legs to be balanced. You can say these two are the first leg. These two are the second. Okay, so if we want to be balanced, we want to be normal Christians and practicing a normal church life, we can't ignore these two. And what is the second two? The third one is increase. We need to pay attention to increase in numbers by bearing remaining fruit here locally. So we should consider this. Actually, I started reading this book here. This book was written from Messages Spoken in 1985. Do you know when that was? Brother Lee spent maybe more than 20 years opening up all the truths in the Bible, speaking all the life study messages, training after training for more than 20 years, right? And bringing us into a proper, healthy experience of life. But when he was done, you know, he's told us this story. He put his pen down. What did he do? He went back to Taiwan. Why? Because he was very burdened that this side here was very strong among us, but this side here was very, very weak. So if you have one really strong, healthy leg and you got one very weak, thin leg, your walk is probably going to be a little bit abnormal, right? So Brother Lee went back. If you read this, especially the first couple chapters, Brother Lee began to consider, if we have so much truth and so much experience of life, how come our numbers are not growing? And how come there's not that much increase? And how come there's not that many churches? So actually, at this time, he was focused mainly on the island of Taiwan. And he told the brothers that they had been there since around 1950. And this was 1985, so that's 35 years. So they began to consider, how is their increase and how is their spread? And basically, you don't have to read too far into this. You find out very quickly the brothers were not satisfied with the normal propagation and growth on the increase and on the spread. So these two, we have to really consider. We should consider ourselves. How is our increase? Actually, the church has been here in Chicago for how many years? Almost 40 years. Okay? Almost 40. That's longer than when Brother Lee was talking about here. Okay? And Brother Lee was not satisfied with the thousands they had in Taiwan and with the number of churches that were spread. Okay? So we should consider, how about the church here in Chicago? Today we want to consider, right? We should be increasing in number and spreading.
Amen.
So one thing, one way of spread is spreading, and we're going to fellowship about this today, spreading here in the metropolitan area.
Amen.
We should be spreading.
Amen.
There should be, and there is, there has been some spreading to more localities in the metropolitan area. But is that it? You know, there's probably not even 900 saints on the total phone list for the whole metropolitan area, and there's about 9 million people in the metropolitan area of Chicago. So how many, what percent is that? Maybe 0.01% or something like that. You know, it's very, very, very small. So we should consider, how's our growing? How's our increase?
Amen.
How's our spreading?
Amen.
Even in the city of Chicago, you know, we should think about it. How many meeting halls are there now? How many districts are there? Right? Do you know how many districts there are just in the one city of Taipei? How many? Let me tell. Just in the city of Taipei. 400 districts. Okay? Actually, in Chicago, we probably have four. Right? We have four different language groups every Lord's Day morning. As you consider them as four district meetings going on here. But we should consider. Actually, this last year, I've been doing a little bit more driving around the area. And one area that I've been going to a lot is Hyde Park. Hyde Park is quite a place, you know. And it's a little bit of a distance. And Paul and George and I were fellowshipping a little bit. We should think about it. Maybe one day. You know, it's probably not going to be soon. But one day, shouldn't there be a district down in Hyde Park? Right? Shouldn't there be another district by UIC? Shouldn't there be more churches in the metropolitan area and throughout the city?
Amen.
Right? We should be enlarged.
Amen.
And think about our propagation.
Amen.
So here's an unfair question. Which one of these four do you like? Right? Actually, in Christianity, some people are very strong on these two. Increase and spread. They're very work-oriented. And that's all they want to talk about is increasing in number and spreading their work. But maybe they're very, very weak. Spreading what? Actually, you read in here, Brother Lee's fellowship is, what are we spreading? What are we increase? Even in John, the Lord, John the Baptist said, I must decrease, he must increase.
Amen.
So what are we increasing? We don't want to just increase in number. We want to increase Christ.
Amen.
We want to increase more life.
Amen.
And more truth.
Amen.
So we do want to take care of both sides. But some of us really like this side over here. I like this side over here. I can sit and read my Bible all day. You know, I like it. I really enjoy reading the Word. And hard to say you'll grow if you just sit in your house all day long and read. But anyway, we enjoy touching the Lord and praying and pray reading and reading the Bible and reading the ministry and reading the footnotes and getting into the Word. It's very, very enjoyable. But it's only one side, right? So some of us might like to run around, go everywhere, just go. Go to group meetings, go preach the gospel, go to appointments with each other, you know, go fellowship and go visit different localities and go to different places and just go all the time, but never read the Bible and never pray and never fellowship and never grow. So anyway, we need both sides. We need the truth and life side, and we need the increase and the spread side. So what are we doing? We should increase in numbers by bearing remaining fruit locally, and we should spread the churches as the testimony of Jesus universally. Okay, let's all read number two together. Okay, so as a church, we should consider, do we have these four aspects? And as a believer, each one of us particularly, you can't say, oh, in my locality, we're not that balanced. How about you? Right? We should consider each of us individually. How is your time in the Word? How's your time growing in life, touching the Lord, being revived day by day? Right? And then how about, do you ever share the gospel? Right? Go out to visit people and bear remaining fruit. And then are we concerned about the spread of the church life to other places? So anyway, this is what we want to consider today. And number three, we should take God's ordained way, not our natural way, in our practice of the church life. And this is a very striking point to me, because in the last 5 years or so, maybe longer, we saw some of the churches and some of the believers take a way that is not the God-ordained way. Okay? You can say it's a very natural way. It's a way to be very creative and whichever way you like and whatever you can come up with on your own. But pretty soon you find out it's not according to the Bible, number one. And number two, it's apart from the Spirit. It's not through the Word, and it's not by prayer. So eventually, it just crumbles. It falls apart. And it's not the kind of remaining building that we want to take. It's not the way we want to take. So we want to take the scriptural way. So what is the God-ordained way? It means that God ordained. He set a certain way in the Bible. And this is the way that we should take.
Amen.
Right? So what way is that? Well, we have to read the Bible to find out. Right? And the more we read it, the more we begin to find out, like in the book of Acts, what way did the believers take? They took the way of getting into the Word and into the ministry of the Word. And they took the way, you find one word repeatedly, not just mentioned, but the experience of the Spirit throughout the whole book of Acts. And also you see very clearly, very strongly, the saints from the beginning of the book of Acts all the way through, what did they do? They prayed, right? So you don't read about the brothers getting together and saying, let's be creative and come up with our own ideas and figure out what kind of a big campaign we can do. That's not the way they took. They took the way, let's come together and pray.
Amen.
And be in the Word.
Amen.
And be in the apostles' teaching.
Amen.
And fellowship together.
Amen.
And be before the Lord and let the Lord lead us and direct us by the Spirit through our prayer and through the Word to take His way.
Amen.
So this is the way we want to take. This is why we call it the God's ordained way. So, you know, in 1 Corinthians, it says that Paul said that he laid a foundation. The foundation of the building is Christ. But he said all of us are building. We're all doing a building work. And we need to take heed how we build and with what kind of materials we're building. So, in our practice, we're not just here inciting each other. Just go run around and do whatever you feel like doing in whatever way you can get people to come in here. And let's, you know, have the numbers just skyrocket in the church. That's not our burden. We want to take God's way, God's ordained way, and build with gold and silver and precious stones and something that will be here next year and what will be here 5 years from now and will be here 10 years, 20 years. Down the road, a remaining building.
Amen.
Right? So we have seen over the years, what is the way we're taking? We're taking the way of begetting. It means bringing others to salvation, sharing the gospel, imparting life, dispensing life into others so that they could be brought to the Lord, be saved, and then nourish them in little times together. And Dan was reminding me, one brother in Austin used to say, the church life should be filled with appointments. It's not just the full-timers go and have appointments with students. Should be, we all have appointments, right? We call each other up, want to get together, go have coffee together, or let's get together, have lunch, or let's get together in the morning, or how about I come over to your house? We just have a little time to read the word and pray together. We should be having many, many, many appointments Amen. With one another, Amen. Together, Amen. Right? And then on a larger scale, nourishing in the group meetings, nourishing one another. We had a group gathering last night up in Evanston. Started out, we had some very enjoyable singing. Then we got into the word, and it started out a little bit slow. And I was thinking, it's okay, there's nothing really great happening here tonight. But actually, the more we just start fellowshipping and sharing with one another, you really sensed, wow, there was a real nourishing, a real supply to one another. And then the perfecting one another by teaching, by the healthy teaching. And then building up in the prophesying on the Lord's Day mornings, which we're all learning. Okay, so the concluding part to this first topic is with a charge and a question. Okay, Paul told us, or gave us a charge. He said we should practice these things. Be in them. In fact, the footnote says we should be immersed in them. That means be really in them and practice them. So it doesn't help. You can read whole books on prayer. You can go through and study the topic of prayer throughout the whole Bible. And you could be so clear about prayer and read every point and know every aspect and know all about personal prayer, corporate prayer, prayer for fellowship, prayer for spiritual warfare, prayer for this, prayer for that. And you're so clear, but what good is it if you don't pray? Right? So Paul was saying, all these things are shared with us. Now we need to practice these things and be in them. And what happens when we practice? We just sense the God of peace is with us. Amen. Right? We just feel very peaceful. We're taking the Lord's way. We're practicing according to the truth. Okay? So you might ask, so why do we need to ask each other, how's our practice? Why do we? I don't want to talk about this because I get exposed and I don't like this. Okay? Well, actually, if you read in 1 Corinthians 14:26, Paul asked the brothers a question. Right? He said, what then, brothers? That's the whole verse. It used to say in the older version said, how is it then, brothers? How is it? Right? But Paul even shortened it, just said, what then, brothers? And then what was he talking about? He said, when you come together, how is it? Right? Do you have? Each one should have something. So Paul was asking the brothers, how is it? So this is very scriptural for us to consider. How is it? Right? And to ask each other. Not to expose or to scorn one another or anything like that, but to encourage one another. Amen. To incite each other. Amen. Right? It shouldn't be abnormal if Jose asked me, which he does once in a while, Marty, when are we going to go preach the gospel? Right? That's a pretty normal question. Right? Or if Dion asked me, you know, where are you at in your Bible reading? Right? That's a pretty good question. It's not terrible, condemning, scorning question. It's just a normal, where are you at? How are you doing? Right? It's like healthy to ask one another. If Livingstone said, how is your prayer? You know, how is your personal prayer? That's a very good question. So, anyway, we need to encourage one another, incite one another, and fellowship one another as we consider the God-ordained way. So today, I'll just maybe mention one more thing. The truth, more in the truth, should bring us into life. The more we're enjoying life, the more we should realize we have responsibility for increase and also for the spreading. Okay? So today, actually, you'll see, as we go through this, we're going to start at the very basic. You know, Brother Lee said? The way to start or even consider the God-ordained way is with yourself, your own personal revival. Are you vital? Are you a vital person? Are you living? Okay? Then after that, if we're personally being revived, which Livingstone's going to share about, then we have to think about, are you connected with anybody? Do you have any companions? Do you have one or two others that you fellowship with, that you pray with, that you go with, that maybe you go visiting with, that you have appointments together with, right? That you can open up and share your concerns with, even your own personal life. Maybe you ask somebody, I'm having a hard time in this particular matter. Dion, will you pray for me? Or, I'm burdened for this brother, but will you pray with me for him? Right? So it's good to have two or three. But out of that, what do these two or three do? Jose was here with us. They need to go. So we're going to talk a lot about the gospel. Then, where do we practice? In homes, in the groups, in small groups, in vital groups, in our homes. Okay? But actually, that's not the end. Okay? We have to go higher. What is this all for? We are not local free groups. We're not just we two and three are the best two and three there ever was, and we don't want to fellowship with anybody else. No. That's not it. And it's not our group in our home is the best home meeting in the whole church, and we don't want anybody else to come and join us. No. Should be, we're all laboring in this way for the building up of the church.
Amen.
Right? Then, say we got a wonderful church life, but what's the purpose of it? The purpose of the church is not just to remain here the same number year after year. We should spread and we should be enlarged. Maybe we could put several words here. We should think about the earth, right? Or spreading.
Amen.
Spreading the church life.
Amen.
To more places. Here locally, geographically, where we have been placed in this city, in this metro area. Then even we have been encouraged, we should think about our state, the state that we live in, and this area of the country that we live in, and then the country as a whole that we live in. And then we do live on this place called the earth, right? To be enlarged, to pray for other areas and other countries, what's happening all over the earth. Anyway, this is a view of where we're going here today. Maybe Livingstone will share, and then we'll break up into groups.
Before I'm going to share, maybe we begin to read a couple of verses. Could we turn to Hebrews 10, chapter 10, 19 to 20. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 to 20. Amen. Okay, go. Having therefore, brothers, boldness for entering the Holy of Holies in the blood of Jesus, which entrance he initiated for us as a new and living way through the veil, that is his flesh. Matthew chapter 13, verse 43. Matthew chapter 13, verse 43. Then the righteous will shine forth like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. Let's read 2 Timothy 1:6. For which cause I remain you to fain into faith the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on my hands. Colossians 3:16. Which is very familiar to us. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to God. Amen. So now we want to come to the second message, which is the supply for our stewardship. We have just read the verse in Hebrews 10, verse 19 to 20. There said that the law has opened a new and a living way for us. In the Old Testament, this way, which is to the tree of life, has been concealed. But in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus, in his blood, he has been taken away the veil and opened a new and a living way for us. Since this is the way, if you want to walk on this way, you surely have must some kind of surprise, right? If you want to drive the car to, say, Memphis, I better fill the gas for my tank, right? Otherwise, I run on halfway and I do not have the gas. It's become a difficulty for me. So in order for us to walk on this way, new way, the living way, God's ordained way, we must fill the oil in our tank so that we can walk on this way. And this kind of surprise, including four categories. From the outline, you can see that there are three categories under the point numeral 2, which is being renewed day by day and rekindle our new man through prayer and taking in the Lord's word and being exercised by it. So we have the morning revival, we have prayer, we also had the word of God, right? This is the three category of supply in order for us to fulfill our stewardship. But still, they are the first part of the outline, Romans 1, which you may not be so clear. They say that there's a word called the apostles' teaching. The apostles' teaching is also a kind of supply for us in order for us to walk on this way. So I will talk later these four aspects, these four categories of supply for us. Okay, point number one said the prerequisite for our practice of the church life according to the God's ordained way. This is a book in 1992 in Anaheim. At that time, Brother Lee had practiced the God's ordained way for several years. But during the conference, Brother Lee speak about some prerequisite for us in order to practice God's ordained way. You know, just as Martin has mentioned, God's ordained way is not the natural way. This way is according to God's desire. This way is to fulfill God's purpose. So if you want to walk in this way, you cannot carry it just by your natural concept. There are some prerequisites, like here you say, we have to see the economy of God, we have to know the body of Christ, We had to realize the recovery of the law, and we had to have a clear vision concerning the present situation of the law's recovery, especially the apostles' teaching and the New Testament leadership.
Maybe you may feel that this is not so related to what we are talking about this afternoon, but I want to emphasize that if you do not see this point, apostles' teaching, maybe you can gain the increase or the spreading, but that may not necessarily fulfill God's New Testament economy. Okay. So Brother Lee had a very strong burden on this way. You know, in Acts 2, chapter 2, the verse 42, he said, in the earlier church day of the church life, they all continued steadfastly in the teaching and the fellowship of the apostles. If you notice, if you carefully read this verse carefully, you will notice that in this verse, the apostles are in the plural form. We have so many apostles at that time, right? We had Apostle John, we had Apostle Peter, we had Apostle Paul, we had so many apostles, but their teaching is in a singular form, the teaching of the apostles. So many teaching. But there are so many apostles, but there is only one teaching. Today, when we practice gospel ten way, we have to very careful, very much attention to this matter, which is the apostles' teaching. Apostle teaching is a holding factor of the oneness in the church, in the body of Christ. This past Thursday, I went to the airport to pick up a brother. He stayed in mainland China for several months, and then he come back again to Chicago. And he told me that when he stayed in mainland China, he had a chance to meet with the saints in Beijing. And he said to me, he's so surprised because they also read the morning revival. They also prophesied in the Lord's Day meeting. Amen. And they have a very strong spirit. He said, it is exactly the same as we in the church in Chicago. Saint, don't you feel that it's so wonderful whenever you go to certain place, every locality, you feel that we are all the same. Amen. We have the same color, we have the same taste, we have the same surprise, we have the same expressions. Do you think that would be wonderful? But if we want to maintain the church, the churches in oneness, there's a very important factor, which is the apostles' teaching. Amen. When Brother Lee speak about the new way, he said we had to avoid churchlessness. He used a very special word called churchlessness. When you practice gospel them way, you have to pay attention that we have to avoid churchlessness. Well, what does it mean, the churchlessness? That means you just want to get people baptized. Even you want to get the people into your home meetings, but you don't see the church. You neglected the church. You didn't pay attention to the church. Brother told us when we practice gospel them way, we had to avoid churchlessness. So, in order to us to have a proper leading, proper standing of the church, we must pay attention to the apostles' teaching. That's the reason why whenever there's a gathering in the Lord's recovery, we try hard, we do our best to bring back this message to the church. Because this message, this surprise is a halting factor for us to be one with the Lord, with the churches in the Lord's recovery. So, the apostles' teaching is a prerequisite for us to practice God's ordained way, and also a surprise for us. Amen. So, next Saturday, praise the Lord. Amen. We had a mini conference here in Chicago. Amen. We invited some brothers from California come to join us to share with us the message for the past International Chinese Speaking Conference. I tell you, I attended this conference. I would say the reputation has been go higher compared with the past winter training about the gospel of God. There are many practical points which has been uplifted, which has been advanced in revelation, also in practice for us. So we encourage you to come to the conference next weekend. It will be wonderful. So apostles' teaching is a holding factor for the oneness among the church, also a surprise for us. Amen. So this is Rome numeral 1. Amen. And Rome numeral 2 said there are three basic practices for our stewardship. The first is being renewed day by day. Amen. I think most of the saints have this kind of practice, but we still want to remind you to stay in this practice. Amen. In the early church life, we don't use this word, revival. We use some other word, like morning watch, right? At 6:30 or I don't know what times. I know at the Korean, at the beginning of the church day, they gather together at the meeting hall at 6 a.m. in the morning. Amen. There are so many saints come from various place, from their house, and come to enjoy the Lord together in the meeting hall. That's wonderful. Especially brothers used to birth in Exodus. When the children of Israel, they're wandering in the wilderness, they had to pick up manna. But manna has some very particular characteristic. That is, when the sun is hot, it melts. So in order for you to eat manna, you had to get up earlier and eat manna, which is signify the word of God. Amen. So that's very good practice in the earlier church life. But when Brother Lee began to practice the gospel in way, use the word morning revival instead of the term morning watch. The word for morning revival had more richer meaning than morning watch. So we paid attention to his word, revive. What does it mean, revive? Re means again, right? A vibe means life or vitality, right? So revive means you come to life, you come to vitality again. I look at the dictionary. He said he has some definition here. revive, amen. Where is it? I can't find it. Anyhow. Revive means come to vitality. Saints, do you know why we need to come to vitality again? During so many times, during so many environments, at a day, you may become somehow the old. You may become somehow depressed. So you need to come to vitality again. Several years ago, maybe 50 years ago, in Taiwan, in the New Year conference, Brother Lee gave us a message. He said, the law of being revived is a very particular message. I don't think we have been translated into English. It is in all the world magazine in China, in Chinese. I read about it. Brother Lee said that if you look at this universe, they are full of all kinds of circulations. Like in a year, we have a circulation of four seasons, right? We had the winter, we had the spring, summer, and autumn, and fall, right? But during the winter time, everything seems to be lifeless. If you go to Botanic Garden at this season, what will you see? Only the snow, only the tree, like half dead, right? No life. But you cannot just think that, wow, this plant are all dead. There's no leaf, there's no something green. It seems that everything is dead in that area. But when we go to the botanic garden in the spring, what will we see? You will see that full of the vitality. Everything is green. The flower is blossom. Amen. And the new leaf is sprouting. Everything seems to be full of life. So, in the same way, our Christian life is a kind of a circulation. Sometimes during the night or during the day, you may have some kind of environment which trouble you, which discourage you, so you feel so depressed before you go to sleep. But don't worry. Praise the Lord. Amen. We have next day. Amen. Amen. We have the morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I tell you, there is a very good footnote in the Old Testament in the book of Lamentation. I read to you that is in the book of Lamentation, chapter 3, verse 19. No. Verse 21 to 23, Jeremiah said, "This I recall to my heart, therefore I have hope. It is Jehovah's love kindness that we are not consumed, for his compassion do not fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." That is in Lamentation chapter 3, verse 23 to 24. And I tell you, there's a very good footnote in this verse. I read to you. He said, "Jeremiah enjoyed Jehovah as his portion, and he put his hope not in himself, nor in the people, nor in everything else, but only in Jehovah. On one hand, Jeremiah realized that God is a God of loving kindness. That is, he is compassionate and that his word is faithful. On the other hand, Jeremiah realized that we still need to contact the Lord every morning." You know, Jeremiah is in the time that the children of Israel has been degraded. They have been captured to some other places. So, Jeremiah is a prophet, always weeping, always crying. Do not have hope. Everything do not have any hope. The children of Israel has been captive to Babylon, to somewhere else. The temple has been ruined. The priest has been degraded. Everything seems to not have any hope. But he said, "Praise the Lord in the morning." Amen. When he contacted the Lord in the morning, amen, the Lord's fresh mercy, the Lord's fresh compassion, the grace, the surprise, everything become new. Amen. So, saints, this is the morning revival. Amen. If you have the morning revival, this brings to you to overcome during the day. This brings you to the vitality when you contact the people during the night. If you do not have the morning revival, of course, you can go to preach the gospel. You can do some works. But if you feel that there's no vitality, when you preach the gospel, no vitality. When you go to a home meeting, no vitality. Everything seems to be old. You can speak some word. You can read the Bible, but everything seems just routine. No freshness. But if you contact the Lord in the morning, you become vital. Then when evening you go to the home meeting, wow, you are full of vitality. You have something new to surprise others. So, this is the first aspect we need to receive the surprise from the Lord. Amen. And the second aspect is that you have to rekindle our new man through prayer. Amen. You know that for we Christians, we have two aspects. We have the new man and we have the old man. For the old man, we don't need to exercise our old man. As long as we don't live in our spirit, spontaneously, we will live in our old man, right? You just stop praying the word of God, You just stop reading the Bible, then spontaneously, we will live in our old man. But in order for us to live in our new man, which is our spirit, we have to rekindle our spirit all the time.
Amen.
And the best way for us to rekindle our new man is by unceasing prayer.
Amen.
The more we have a personal time with the Lord, the more we have intimate contacting with Him, the more we will be rekindled for our new man.
Amen.
We have lots to share along this time, but we don't have time. We just skip it. Maybe sometime we touch about it. Then we go to the third point. Taking the Lord's word and being exercised by it. Okay, this is also the burden. Since we need to have the Lord's word in order to practice gospel the way. When you go to preach the gospel, what do you speak? God's word. When you go to cherish and nourish the new one, what material will you use? God's word. When you come to the home meeting, we perfect one another. What kind of material do you use? God's word. And during the Lord's Day meeting, what word do you speak? Do we prophesy? God's word. So you will see that the four steps of God's ordained way, BMPB, begetting, nourishing, perfecting, and building up, all related to God's word. Marty shared with us the other day that if we do not have for the new one, whether they can receive the cherish or not, is largely depending on whether we can handle their problem with the proper verses. Right? Like a new one come to me, they have some problems. That whether I can cherish him, nourish him, is depend on how rich the word of God is inside me. If I can use the proper word to cherish him, then he got nourished. But if I don't have enough word, I just speak some doctrines, some teachings, which I do not so understand, then he will be dead. So God's ordained way is very much related to how rich, how living this world is inside us. You know that in Colossians, it said that let the word of Christ abide in you richly. He used this word, abide. Do you realize we use the word abide only to the living things? Like, I cannot say that there are 300 chairs abide in this meeting hall. I cannot say that. I can say that I invited three friends come to my house and he live in my house. So, if we say that the word abide in us, that means this word must be living. We will be touched by this word. We will enjoy this word. This word is fresh in me. This word is a surprise to me. If I follow this kind of word, then when I go to preach the gospel, or prophesy in the meetings, or to do some shepherding to the new one, they will receive the nourishment because it is living. But I just take a few verses and said, well, let's pray together. Without any surprise, without any freshness, without any touch, then I think the new one will not receive the surprise from us. Amen. So, praise the Lord. I just give a little bit of fellowship. Give you the test of how we need the supply from this aspect in order for us to fulfill our duty as a New Testament priest and for the stewardship. Amen. So, amen.
Okay, today is a little bit different. This is not like a conference where we're just going to come and share messages and then we all respond. We're not going to do that. We want to have fellowship together. So what we like to do now for about 20 minutes is just quickly scatter around the tables. And if you can't find a spot, there's a whole other room down the hallway full with tables also and chairs. And one thing we like to practice when we do this for our prayer meetings is don't try to figure it out and analyze who you want to sit with too long. Okay? Just go sit down. Just go sit down with anybody. Okay? Whether they're in your group or your neighborhood or your locality or not. Actually, it's probably better if they're not. right? To hear from others and to fellowship together. Okay, so we want you to take about 4 seconds to go sit down. Okay, just go very quickly, sit down and look at the outline. Maybe you might want to quickly read some of the points again to each other, but ask each other. You know, Livingstone just brought out these three really crucial things. Being revived in the morning.
Amen.
Having some time to pray.
Amen.
And getting into the Word.
Amen.
Those are three very crucial matters for our personal daily life.
Amen.
So again, we're not here, we're not policemen, we're not checking up on each other in that way. But we want to encourage each other. Maybe you found a secret how to have morning revival is by going to bed earlier at night. Okay, maybe that's helping you. You should share that with each other. Okay, maybe you found out, I used to try and read 40 chapters every day and I did it for about 3 days and I quit. Now I realize if I just read one chapter every day, seems like I can keep going. You should share that. Share that with each other. We should share what we're learning, what we're experiencing, how we can help each other practice our daily life of being revived. Okay, so let's quickly, and then when you're done, we're going to come back here and we'll have a little overflow. Maybe you'd like to share something with everybody. Okay, so let's quickly go sit down. Just go to any table very quickly. Just go sit down. Be in them. And the God of peace will be with you. Okay, once more.
Have his peace, be in them, and the God of peace will be with you.
Okay, let's have some overflow. We got about 15 minutes or so before we take a break. So we like to tell the saints getting coffee, we're going to take a break in about 15 minutes. So just come join us. Come sit down. Okay, we're going to have a little overflow. Maybe you could share what you enjoyed in your group or what you enjoyed in the fellowship so far. How's your practice? Actually, the first question we asked each other when we sat around the table is, which one of these are you weakest in? And actually, I think a lot of us realize maybe we read the Word or get revived morning by morning, but maybe we're very weak in prayer. And we just need to build up more of a daily, normal, not necessarily a long time, but just a normal daily coming to the Lord in our prayer. So how about we have some more fellowship? What came out at your table? Okay? And maybe you can share something short. Encourage us. Okay? We're all short. We all realize we're short. We're not here dwelling on that too heavily. We want to share our encouragement with each other. Okay, so if you have something encouraging, why don't you come up and share with us? Yeah, maybe about 1 minute or 2 minutes. Okay, so come up to the microphone and share.